Eric Bouton, Portfolio Manager and Chief Analyst at Matisse Capital, is here. We're talking about investing in closed-end funds, and this is The Market Call. Welcome to The Money Life Market Call, the part of the show where we talk with experienced money managers about how they do their job, what they look for that determines their buys and sells, what they see happening broadly on the market, and how they put it all together. And returning to The Market Call today, Eric Bouton. He's Portfolio Manager and Chief Analyst at Matisse Capital, where he oversees, among other things, the Matisse Discounted Closed-End Fund Strategy. That's MDCEX, so it's a mutual fund that buys closed-end funds. And then its sister fund, Matisse Discounted Bond Closed-End Fund Strategy, that's MDFIX, MDFIX. You can learn about the firm and the funds by going to MatisseCap.com. Eric Bouton, welcome back to Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. It's so good to be here.
So we always start with methodology. And when it comes to buying closed-end funds, it's particularly important because, of course, folks get the word discounted in the fund names. And discount is certainly one thing, but it's not just, oh, buy the discount. There's a lot more to it than that. So explain what makes one closed-end fund stand out to you and how you separate the good discounts from the ones you want to buy.
Well, closed-end funds are a great vehicle for retail investors. We've turned it into an institutional strategy, Chuck, basically, by buying funds that are likely to appreciate based on both appreciation in their values and a narrowing of their discounts. When a great deal comes up, we buy it. When it becomes less of a deal, we sell it and move on to something else. And it's the methodology that we employ that enables us to determine, in most cases, what funds are going to narrow and what funds to avoid.
When you are looking at discounts and you're saying, okay, we want to be able to narrow the discount, how much of that is organic? In other words, as you point out, you're looking for companies or for funds that own companies or investments that are going to grow, that are undervalued, so that you're going to be able to have the investments themselves close the discount. But how much of it is also on the activism side? If you're buying into a fund going, hey, this discount has gotten big enough, I think somebody's going to step in and try to close it. Like, is there one that outweighs the other in your book? Or are they both the same because they're both making you money?
Exactly. We are totally agnostic at our firm about how we make money for clients. So I think you make a great point that activists come into these closed-end funds sometimes and try to narrow the discount, and that has had mixed success for activists over time. So one of the things that we do is we make a determination of whether an activist is likely to be successful or not. If an activist is likely to be successful, then we might follow an activist in. If not, we might be selling the fund that the activist is buying.
How do you judge, from where you sit, the likelihood that an activist will be successful? What are the things that you are looking for that tells you this action has merit, that one doesn't?
So sometimes activists talk about what they want to do, and we look at the history of the fund company and its interaction with activists in the past. We look at the history of that activist and other funds and whether their playbook has been successful or not. And we look at the fund's discount and the presence of other investors in the fund that may vote for or even against the activist's proposals. And we weigh all those things and determine whether to buy or sell.
We have seen over the last several years, the closed-end fund market have some really interesting moves where discounts got super wide as we got into the pandemic, and then they narrowed, et cetera. What's your take on where discounts stand right now? How fairly valued is it? How easy or hard is it for you to find something where the discount is really going to get you attracted beyond just what the underlying assets are?
It's a very interesting time right now, Chuck, because some discounts are very attractive, and some discounts are actually less attractive than average. And I think it's really a tale of two or even three or four markets at this point. For example, everyone is worried about interest rates right now. The 10-year Treasury is approaching 5%, and people worry that the Trump administration will lead to inflation and perhaps a stronger dollar. And so rates are high. Because of that, discounts on bond closed-end funds that have a high duration are very large. On top of bonds being beaten down because of the rate increase, people are selling these municipal bond closed-end funds at an average discount of more than 9%. And this is for a space where long-term municipal bond closed-end funds typically only trade for about a 3% discount. And this is a 1.3 standard deviation event. So this is one example where things are cheap. There are areas where things are expensive. For example, on the flip side of that, in taxable bond closed-end funds, where people are not worried about credit quality right now in the market. So credit spreads are tight. And in the closed-end fund space, not only are people paying a lot because the junk bonds are up, but they're also not demanding a very large discount for those funds. So that's a perfect example where which discount do you buy? In our opinion, you buy the discount where investors are making a bet one way and you go against the prevailing wisdom by buying the municipal bond closed-end funds and selling the taxable bond closed-end funds.
As you manage a portfolio, how much do you try to make sure you are fully diversified? I mean, as you just pointed out, here you're looking at which types of bond funds you're going to own. But even when it comes to you find great discounts that are really attractive for you in bond funds, and if you're finding less things in equity funds, do you tilt the portfolio based on availability, or do you maintain a portfolio that has a balance of equity and fixed income, regardless of what the conditions are? Like if the conditions would drive you to say, here's where all the bargains are, you're still going to be fully diversified.
Our fund takes an approach that both of our funds actually take an approach that we believe is wise even for the individual investor who might be doing this on his or her own, which is to maintain diversification across different sectors and asset classes. In our core fund, Go Anywhere Fund, MDCEX, we own both bond and stock funds. We own both U.S. and foreign funds. And we definitely tilt the portfolio quite a bit towards those areas where we see the most attractive discounts and the best opportunity to capture discount narrowing. But we maintain a portfolio that's diversified both across different funds and across the asset classes. So we think that's wise for the individual investor, even one who may not be trading as much as we do.
So now let's put this down to brass tacks. I mean, what's a name or two that really stand out to you right now as a poster child for what you do?
So, I mean, I would mention our second largest holding within MDCEX is Pershing Square Holdings. So this is a fund that is, its ticker PSHZF, and it is, it's a fund that has its primary listing overseas in Amsterdam and London, but it trades on the U.S. exchange. It's essentially ownership in a hedge fund run by Bill Ackman, who many of your listeners may have heard of. But unlike buying Bill Ackman's hedge fund, where you have to be a qualified investor and you have to pay NAV for the hedge fund, in this fund, you can purchase his same expertise at about a 30% discount to the value of his portfolio. Now, his portfolio consists almost entirely of large publicly traded U.S. companies. It pays a regular dividend. It buys back shares regularly, thereby accreting NAV, and it has a high insider ownership. Bill and his team own about a quarter of the fund. Pershing Square also owns about a 5% position in Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which have been in the news recently as potentially going to be privatized by the Trump administration, which, if that happens, they could be worth significantly more than the current market value. So on top of Pershing Square's other holdings, it has a call option, if you will, on the success of a privatization of Fannie and Freddie. So Pershing Square, with a catalyst, too, of the potential discount narrowing because Ackman is trying to raise more money. And I think he's recognized over the past year of trying to do that, that success at raising more money depends on having a smaller discount on this fund. He's got a great long-term track record in this fund, and we think it is an excellent example of an asset that is just beaten to the curb right now.
So that's a really interesting pick. Out of curiosity, we have to kind of quickly do the other side of this. What makes you sell? You know, you talked about how you were looking for things. Is it the funds you have invested in have realized the narrow discount and the potential that you saw, and there's a faster horse out there? I mean, is that typically the thing? There is the next good opportunity? In other words, it's when this is no longer as good an opportunity as the one that's on the watch list, is that when you sell, or is there something else to it?
Yeah, that's exactly it for us. The horse racing example analogy is a pretty good one. So, you know, we think we have decent insight as to which three horses, whatever, are going to be likely to place. And when we no longer think that horse is likely to finish in the top three, even if they might finish fourth or fifth, we'll switch to a different horse. So in that example, you know, a Pershing Square, we might sell at a 15% discount to NAV, for example, just throwing a number out there.
Well, now we're going to get your quick and dirty take on some closed-end funds that my audience is particularly interested in.
Quick and dirty.
It was a bargain, baby.
Well, yeah, we are going bargain shopping with Eric Boughton. He is portfolio manager and chief analyst at Matisse Capital, and he definitely does look for bargains where he finds them. He is looking for them for the Matisse Discounted Closed-End Fund Strategy, MDCEX, and the Matisse Discounted Bond Closed-End Fund Strategy, MDFIX, MatisseCap.com. And I venture to guess that we have more closed-end fund requests than pretty much anybody out there in terms of interest from our audience because, of course, we talk about closed-end funds regularly with the Navigator. So we've got a lot to dig into, and we will start with a request we got from Thomas in Sudbury, Massachusetts, not too far away from me, for the Templeton Dragon Fund. That's ticker symbol TDF.
Yes, Templeton Dragon Fund. This is an excellent fund, well-managed. It owns Chinese stocks and a few broader Asian region stocks. As you might imagine, U.S. stocks are highly sought after, but Chinese stocks are beaten to the curb and have extremely low valuations on their earnings and et cetera. Everyone's worried about what might happen in the upcoming administration. They're worried about the government in China, et cetera. These worries are reflected in a fund that now has about an 18% discount to its value. And it typically trades at about a 12% discount over a long period of time. Now, there are catalysts for this fund in addition, because a big institutional investor called City of London has a large position in this fund. And the fund recently conducted a tender offer on its shares, and it may do more of this in the future. So overall, we think this fund is likely to see its discount narrow. And we also think that Chinese stocks are likely to outperform U.S. stocks going forward. So for us, this is a strong buy.
Yeah. So you think about China and you think that might be speculative, but...
Well, I've always been a risk taker.
If you are a risk taker and you're willing to do it, strong buy on TDF, Templeton Dragon. Dave in Southport, North Carolina, wants to know about AIO. That's the Virtus AI and Technology Opportunity closed-end fund.
Artificial intelligence, what an exciting space. So you might think that this would be a strong buy for us, but it's kind of the mirror image of TDF. So this fund owns large companies involved in artificial intelligence in the U.S., companies like NVIDIA, companies that everyone wants. And for that reason, this fund not only has gone up a lot, but it also trades at a 4% premium to its net asset value. Now, over a longer period of time, this fund has traded at about an 8% discount to its value. So this is an example where we think the asset class is overvalued. I mean, for example, if you look at the NASDAQ 100 at 35 times earnings, the S&P 500's valuation at 26, higher than in the third quarter of 1999. We're not making an imminent market call here, but we think this is a dangerous fund to own, especially as that premium could go to a discount if there's any change in sentiment in the market. So if you own this, we recommend you sell it.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Yeah, well, the market is crazy for AI, but you might be a little bit crazy if you're sticking around when you get to the point where things are at premiums that might otherwise be trading at discounts. That's why Virtus AI and Technology Opportunity, AIO, is a sell. Andrew in San Jose, California, wants to know about Aberdeen Asia Pacific Income, ticker FAX, F-A-X.
So FAX, Aberdeen Asia Pacific Income, is an example of a fund that owns emerging market bonds, including a focus in Asia Pacific, as its name implies. And again, like the emerging market stocks, the emerging market bonds are extremely poor performers recently. The U.S. dollar has been very strong. And this is a fund where we think the asset class is going to turn around. We think that the U.S. dollar is more likely to weaken going forward. After all, it did weaken during the first Trump administration. And meantime, you get this fund at a large discount to its net asset value, and you get about a 13% yield when you buy it at its market price today. So getting into an asset class everyone hates. Now, this fund recently traded at about a 13% discount, and just over the past week or so has seen that discount narrow. So we would buy this on weakness. We would buy it if it dips down to about a 13% discount again in coming weeks and months. So this is a medium buy, I guess. Buy on weakness.
Yeah, it's what we sometimes call a hold to a buy. You're hanging on, waiting for that better price.
I'm just taking my time before making the move.
On the Aberdeen Asia Pacific Income Fund. And we'll stick with Aberdeen. This request from Steve in Royal Oak, Michigan, and Robert in Holland, Ohio, both wanting to know about AEF, the Aberdeen Emerging Markets Equity Income Fund, where I'd expect the message might be pretty similar to Asia Pacific Income.
It is indeed. This fund owns a diversified portfolio of emerging market stocks, and it yields about 8% now. It's at a 12% discount to NAV, so we love the asset class. And recently, this fund announced that it's going to tender for 20% of its shares close to NAV. And furthermore, if it doesn't outperform a benchmark over the next 3 years and every 3 years after, it will do that again. So you can buy it. If you're right and the discount narrows, you can sell it. And if not, you can sell it as the company tenders for shares. So this is an example where an activist has been able to convince the company to do what's right for shareholders. So this is a buy.
Either gets on board or he gets left behind.
That's a buy on Aberdeen Emerging Markets Equity Income, AEF. And last, for Dave in Jacksonville, we'll put two together because I know they're related in your mind, but also they come from the same listener. Dave in Jacksonville wanted to know about ARDC, that's Ares Dynamic Credit Allocation, but also want to know about River North Flexible Muni Income 2, that's RFMZ.
Essentially, these are two flip sides of the bond coin we were talking about earlier. So in ARDC's case, it owns lower credit quality bonds, and the fund trades at a small premium because everyone loves those right now. But over a long period of time, it's traded at a 9% discount on average. We think junk bonds are very risky right now. You're not getting paid to take the risk because credit spreads are so tight. And so we would recommend selling this. But on the flip side, RFMZ provides access to not only cheap municipal bond funds with rates high and potentially coming down that would benefit that portfolio, but it also owns other municipal bond closed-end funds. So it owns bonds and it owns bonds bond closed-end funds, and it itself trades at an 11% discount to its NAV. So essentially, you're getting a double discount on RFMZ. So we think that's a buy, and ARDC is a sell.
So again, you put it together, it's a sell on Ares Dynamic Credit Allocation, ARDC, but a buy on RFMZ, River North Flexible Income 2.
If you buy right there, you know, and then you sell there, you see why, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we got what you're saying, Eric, and we love getting a chance to hear from you generally. Thanks so much for joining me on Money Life. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Looking forward to it, Chuck. Thank you.
That's Eric Boughton. He's portfolio manager and chief analyst at Matisse Capital. Online at MatisseCap.com. Matisse discounted closed-end fund strategy. Matisse discounted bond closed-end fund strategy. Those are the funds. And we'll be back to put a bow on this edition of Money Life when we come back in just a moment. Stay around to the end.